This is Veronica Matheson in New York City, where I am visiting the Metropolitan Museum of Art, which is known to everybody as the Met. It is an impressive building, resembling a grand palace, and once you step into its great hall, you know you are in one of the world's most important cultural institutions. Today at the Met on New York's Fifth Avenue, I am talking to Andrea Bayer, who is organizing the museum's 150th anniversary celebrations this year. Andrea, the Metropolitan Museum of Art is much prized and loved by New Yorkers. Why this strong connection with the community?
We go way back with New York City, having been founded in 1870. So it's a very long-standing connection between the community and the museum. And it is true that for many New Yorkers, they will tell you that their childhood and early adulthood was shaped by visits to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, that they fell in love with one section or another. For many people, it starts, for example, in Arms and Armor, when they're young boys and they come and they look at the Arms and Armor and they get attached. But it is a place that has always embraced New Yorkers and offered them both a continued experience of things that they love and novelty. There's so much to explore in this building that people rarely can get through everything in one go.
Of course, every New Yorker says to a visitor, you've got to go to the Met.
Mm-hmm.
What would you recommend them to do when they come here?
For people who come from abroad, they can come here and look at what we have of their own cultures. They can identify with things that they know from home. But on the other hand, you can also introduce yourself to things that are specifically American. You can go to the American wing and you can immerse yourself in American paintings like Washington crossing the Delaware, or American sculpture and even American architecture. It's a great introduction to the culture of the country that you're visiting. Having done that, having looked at your own culture, having looked at American culture, you can go on to think about culture, other cultures from around the world. And in that sense, really, it's a global museum.
How many visitors, international visitors, do you get in a year?
29% of our visitors at Fifth Avenue are international. And we have had in recent years approximately 7.3 million visitors.
Ooh, that's a lot, isn't it?
A lot of visitors.
And what would you advise people who want to come here? I mean, do they have to queue in the peak season?
They should always remember that there's a second entrance, which is at 81st Street, rather than up the great staircase at 82nd Street. And that sometimes that's the quickest method to get in. We're encouraging people to buy their tickets before they come here. And for many people who come here now, we have a very good setup in the Great Hall with kiosks in which they can just go straight up to the kiosk and buy their ticket.
That makes a lot of sense. 2020 is the 150th birthday of this institution. Are there any special plans?
Oh boy, are there special plans. We've been very ambitious about this. We wanted it to be a moment of celebration, and we also wanted it to be a moment of reflection. So there are certain things that we are opening that are going to be absolutely new and spectacular, we believe, for our visitors. That's going to begin with an entirely new installation in a brand new architectural setting in early March of our British galleries, of our collection of British decorative arts.
Is this in a new building?
No, it's within this building. It's in a space that had been dedicated to British art, but has been completely renovated and rethought with a whole different message about Britain as an entrepreneurial society, with all the good and the bad that that brings up. Britain and empire, for example, I think will be very interesting for your listeners.
What sort of things are going to be in this exhibition? I mean, I heard you had teapots.
Yes.
Which is so British.
It's so British. And they've built a tower of teapots. There will be over 100 teapots on view, and that will be part of a section that is about the tea trade. So very interesting, because that brings you around the world as well. There will be beautiful galleries dedicated to 19th century British decorative arts. We have not been concentrating on those as fully in the past as we are now. We'll start around the time of Elizabeth I, the Tudors, and then go forward through till the end of the 19th century.
And I'd imagine you'll have a grand opening with somebody from Britain opening the exhibition.
I'm crossing my fingers and toes that we will. We will have a grand opening, yes. So that's a sort of, gives you a sense that during this period of the anniversary, we're going to do things that really transform the collection in a permanent way. We will have a series of very interesting exhibitions, including one about the 150 years of the Met itself, which I'm the lead curator on, called Making the Met, 1870 to 2020.
How did the Met start?
The Met started as an idea. After the American Civil War, in a moment of growth in the city, a group of businessmen and civic leaders and artists looked at each other and said, this city deserves a great museum. And in 1870, the museum was founded, but it didn't yet have either a building or any works of art. That they had to work on over the next decade to build the core of this building, which opened in 1880, and to start to really collect. And they collected as well as they could in those first years. They bought some paintings in Europe. They bought a group of Cypriot antiquities. They brought in a number of interesting musical instruments and so on. And the collection took off. And by the end of the century, with the oomph behind them of great financiers like J. Pierpont Morgan, the Met became a force to be reckoned with on the collecting stage. And that forced the building to get larger and larger as well.
So this grand building now has gradually been added to.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, it didn't, it was not finalized. We continue to build here, as you, I'm sure you know. But the shape of the building, its final footprint in Central Park, was determined at the time of the what we call the centennial era. After 1970, the final galleries, the final footprint were put in place.
I know you're going to have a grand cutting of the cake. Mm-hmm. When is that happening?
That's happening on our birthday itself, which is April 13th. There'll be birthday cake, there'll be proclamations, there'll be a big press conference. That evening is going to be an evening specifically for artists. We're going to invite hundreds of New York artists to come and explore the building and to celebrate with us. And the great celebratory weekend, which will be on June 4th, 5th, and 6th, which is going to include a gala party, but also a rather scholarly symposium about museums themselves and the history of museums in the United States. And then there'll be an evening called New Yorkers Take the Met, and the next day, a great community festival and an artist's parade of some kind.
So you must be expecting, what, thousands?
We hope so. We hope that people will come from far and wide to celebrate our birthday with us, both as we reflect on the past and as we think about the future. Of course, we're here now with a newish director, Max Hollein, who's been here somewhat over a year, and he has grand plans for the next years ahead, and we want to talk about that with our community supporters as well.
Well, I guess that's very important. In the annual, the Met Ball, as always, it's outrageous, isn't it, with all the celebrities that come along?
The 1st of May, the Costume Institute Gala is a fixed point in our calendar, and I'm sure that this year is going to be as grand as ever. The Costume Institute itself will be putting on an exhibition that will explore clothing through time. It will take the same 150 years of our history and think about the development of the fashion industry, about costumes themselves, and we'll look more closely at the way that that clothing is shaped by history.
And the Institute actually is in this building.
Yes, it is. The Costume Institute is in this building, and it has a fall show on now, which I would say I recommend very highly. It's a single collection from a woman named Sandy Schreier, who lives in Detroit, and who has been collecting great clothing as works of art. So not a socialite. She didn't wear them out to parties herself. No, she was collecting them as works of art, and she's now given her collection to the Met, and we have it on display in the Costume Institute galleries right now. During this time as well, we welcome everyone to go to the Cloisters, our outpost in Fort Tryon Park, overlooking the Hudson River, and where our great medieval collection is held, with the cloisters and their gardens, with the unicorn tapestries and many other remarkable works of art.
Yes, because a lot of people don't know about that, do they?
And we have to change that. It's on the northern point of the Manhattan Island, so It's not that difficult to arrive to by public transportation, and of course...
So how long have you been at the Met, Andrea?
I've been here for about 30 years. Most of my time here was spent in the Department of European Paintings, where I worked as a specialist in Italian painting of the Renaissance and the Baroque periods, with an enormous amount of satisfaction and joy. My role now is very different, but it too gives me the great satisfaction of knowing that I'm contributing to this vast organization that is so beloved to so many people.
You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.